This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Then we found out that it was for unusual gambling activity, and sources, according to ESPN, said the betting integrity firm IC360 sent an alert back in June to sportsbook operators regarding the idea that he had two different pitches, one in each game, one in a game in against Seattle, one in a game against St. Louis, that he threw for balls that led off the inning. And there's speculation because there was multiple states involved, and the amount of money that was involved in gambling on this was so extreme and so large that it didn't track for just a normal ball strike betting operation.
Yeah, as this thing keep going further, and as the show got longer and longer, and as we sit here about 524, 525,
yeah,
it's looking worse by the second.
Oh, okay. Because, like, all right. Now, is that because of baseball's policy on gambling and how they've always been? Like, why? How did it get worse?
Because as we sit here and as we've gone along, we've started to see more and more information come out. And the more information comes out, there's less and less wiggle room. Like,
it makes less and less sense as to why he would have thrown these two balls.
Right.
You gotta pull up the video and look and just see how far off the plate they are. And then also understand.
But there's large sums of cash.
I don't know how he's going to beat these charges.
In three different states.
Right.
Not just one. Like, if it's like, yo, in Iowa, in Des Moines, Iowa, someone put a lot of money on these pitches.
And I would just think they're down on their luck and they're trying to do a coin flip heads or tails.
And it's like, okay, but we talking about Ohio, New York, where else?
New Jersey was
New
the other
Jersey.
One.
Man, like, three on the same pitch? In the same game. Think about how many, and here's the problem. Think about how many pitches are thrown on a regular baseball Saturday where a lot of teams are playing. Thousands of pitches, right?
I thought I saw earlier today there's 700,000 pitches thrown in a Major League Baseball season.
Yeah. So you take into consideration thousands of pitches thrown for that day.
Yeah.
And you look at some of those pitches have no bets, probably.
I would think so. I mean, everyone bets on just about everything, but like I would think in most scenarios, max amount for each pitch is probably like, you know, a couple hundred hours wagered. As a total.
So if you look at, you got your spreadsheet open and you're going down the list and you got somebody in the back room charting this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going down the list and you say, okay, there's one bet for $20, two bets on this ball for $30. And then you get down to Luis Ortiz and there's three bets totaling $50,000?
Right, and that's why, I mean, obviously it's screamed out, and we don't know the number. You're obviously just putting a number out there. But that's what they're telling us, is that it's a large number. So if it's $50,000, if it's $100,000, it's an absurd amount of money for one pitch.
That was that's the easiest catch in the world. You don't even need AI for that.
I just think, is Ortiz just the dumbest human alive? Like, doesn't he know that these things would get flagged so easily? Or is he just thinking to himself, hey, I got buddies in three different spots. It's an easy way. I've made $2.2 million in my career, which is a good amount of money, but after taxes and agents and everything else in life, it's not, I'm not a rock star, right? I can't retire off of $1 million in my bank account. I probably need a little bit more. So if he's thinking I can get $100,000 off of these instances, all I got to do is throw a ball in one out. I throw 100 pitches in an outing. I got to throw a ball to one batter to lead off an inning, and that's it.
So maybe, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe this was all discussed. He says, listen, I'm already going to tell you guys. I'm going to tell you when I'm going to throw the balls.
That's what this would have to be, right? This would have to be like, I'm going to lead off the second inning. I'll lead off the third inning. Third inning is a good call because you're usually playing like the seventh or the eighth hitter in the lineup.
Yeah, and it's the second time through the lineup. You might be wanting to try something out. Or
it just doesn't hurt you as bad if you throw a ball one to a guy that's hitting a .189.
Now, how do we know? And this is just me. The way I look at it, 9 times out of 10, there's always a Fredo somewhere. Right? Like, there's always.
Like, don't break my heart, Fredo?
Yes. There's always somebody in the system, in the syndicate, that should not be in the syndicate.
Don't break my heart, Fredo.
Listen, I told you, we all established that the bets are to go over, no longer go over this amount. And we're spacing the games out so that this is a system where we can make a couple of dollars here or there and no harm, no foul. We go right under the radar. But it only takes one. It only takes one. If you're betting on that and you're degenerate, chances are,
they always end up pushing their boundaries,
they're
right?
Pushing the limits.
We see this in every operation in life that way, where people are doing shady things, where it's like, okay, we start small, we're okay, but you keep pushing it is where you get in trouble.
You're like organized crime. You're like, listen, who decided to sell 45 kilos of cocaine? Who did that? We were not doing that.
This isn't Narcos. We're not set up that way.
We are a small Midwest cannabis operation here. who made the step to the heavy stuff?
We're
right?
trying to get housewives high. We're not trying to go to prison.
And so now the guys start betting, and then all of a sudden, all it takes is one.
Yeah.
And now you're,
greed. Greed's the downfall of everything, is it not? It sounds like this is a story. And I don't know. We're making a lot out of, we're moving the conversation in many ways. Who knows? Maybe this is just the first and the second time they ever tried to place a bet and they just went big and went for the gusto from Jump Street. If they did that, I would tell it to Ortiz and anybody else involved to their face. You're morons. Absolute morons for thinking that you would get away with this, but you just don't understand how gambling and gambling properties work because they monitor everything and you cannot make large size bets without raising a red flag. This is how this works.
Listen, Johnny Manziel tried to go into a casino with a disguise.
Yeah.
It didn't work. Like, they're watching you. I just think, you know, it's sad because if they get the guys who are doing it, right? Those guys, I mean, if they offer those guys jail time or they offer them, they're like, listen, dude, you're in trouble. You might as well go ahead and tell us what it is. These dudes ain't going to be willing to go to no do real time. Like, that's why I say you might as well, if you know something about it, you might as well go ahead and plea bargain today.
Well, so the problem is that you're trying to plea bargain with a group in Major League Baseball. This is their biggest crime. Like I made the correlation in the first hour, and it's a sad correlation, but it's true. Aroldis Chapman, can do horrible, miserable things involving domestic violence. He's bitching in the World Series, and he had a lengthy career in back of that. Meanwhile, Marcano, the infielder from the Padres, bets on his team, and all of a sudden he's banned for life. Or the other guy, the A's pitcher, Michael Kelly, June 4th of last year, got popped for betting $99.22 on baseball. That was the total. He did that as a minor league baseball player 4 years prior, and he bet under $100 once. That was all the bets that he had bet on baseball in any capacity. He was a minor leaguer. 1 year ban. Instant. 1 year ban. Like, unfortunately for Luis Ortiz, the game looks at this as the most severe thing you can do. And so if I'm Ortiz right now, I'm trying to figure out a way where this is only a 1 year ban. If I get away with a 1 year ban on this, I feel like I got away with murder. But the reality is, a lifetime ban is staring him in the face. If you can actually track this back to him and purposefully throwing the ball in that instance.
Well, you know, Major League Baseball is always still really gun shy about, obviously, the Pete Rose thing. You have the steroids thing.
But there's an integrity to the game attached to all this. This is why Jante Murray got banned from the NBA. They take this so seriously. This is why Calvin Ridley didn't really do anything that was that uncommon. Like it was betting on games, but he was not even close to the team when he did it. Instant 1 year ban from the NFL. Like this is how serious these leagues have to take it, because the moment that the general public thinks that any of these games are rigged or any of these games aren't on the up and up is the moment you've lost your game.
Listen, I would argue, especially when it comes to the NFL. I mean, this stuff, sports to some people has become, especially in big leagues like that, a religion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you don't wake up tomorrow and say I'm changing my religion. People don't change teams.
The NFL is an $11 billion industry. Major League Baseball is a $10 billion industry. There's so much money at stake with all of these.
And you wake up one day and people think that none of it counted. Like none of it was real. It was all orchestrated. It was some script. Like that's a societal hit. Like. You wake up tomorrow and you think everything that we put on, because we put integrity, we put, you know, intestinal fortitude. We show our kids, hey, I want you to be like, you see how hard he works. Look at Nick Chubb. I mean, it's crazy.
Think about what a scandal Tim Donaghy was, and think about how the league had to react because of that. Like, they had to make sure that you believe when a ref is making a decision, and we have all sorts of different refs that we think are on whatever sort of keep or on the whatever. Scott Foster. Why he's called the extender for a reason. He comes into the series and he extends those series, right? But the NBA doesn't want us thinking those ways. And the moment you start thinking those ways, it's really, really bad for these leagues.
When you start knowing them, when you start knowing the refs by name, that's not a good thing.
It's not good.
It's not good.
They had to battle this with the refs, but now more importantly, they have to battle it with some of these players. And a guy like Luis Ortiz, who's only made a couple million dollars in his career, he has as much impact as anybody can have in a game that he starts.
Yes.
Like, that's it. You got so much that you can do in that game.
It's almost like it's almost the reason why quarterbacks are their own separate entity. Like, they have to go over there because they are the versions of that. But pitchers, hey, listen, they control the entire game, like the flow of the game, everything. So yeah, it looked worse by the second. I'm interested to see what information continues to leak out, because before the show started, we didn't have a lot of this stuff, and now we kind of do.
What's your life advice for Ortiz? We got to go to Jason Timpf coming up here in about 6 minutes. But what would you give him right now? I told him he's got to just deny. But what would you tell him?
Listen, he might want to cut that deal.
Cut the deal. Okay.
Cut that deal.
Just go to the commissioner's office, get down on your knees, and say, my bad. Please only suspend me for a year.
Because I think that if Pete would have done that, they would have let him in. But he continued to say, no, I'm not. I didn't gamble on it. And then it came out, he did gamble. The people who did steroids and said they did steroids, they're in the game. They got employed. Like, Andy Pettit is different from Roger Clemens, right? We looked at it differently, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and just, hey, bite the bullet, dog.
Jason Timpf, host of Hoops Tonight. He'll join us next. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. He's the host of Hoops Tonight. His name is Jason Timpf, and he joins us here on The Fan. Jason, how you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on. I'm feeling the finish line on the horizon. It's been a crazy 4 months. And once we get after Summer League, I feel like we can all take a deep breath finally.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there. But in the NBA, I guess you guys just never sleep these days, Jason.
Yeah, pretty much. It's crazy because the playoffs are such a crazy grind. But then it's kind of different than the NFL schedule. There's no break. You just get right back in here. It's kind of a bizarre calendar.
Yeah, I think at one point, I don't know if we played a clip of yours. I do remember listening to you. It was, and I think it was you and Colin, but it might have just been you alone. I remember listening as you were like lining up your playoff tiers and your playoff teams. At the time, everyone was so Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavs heavy, and you kind of went against the grain when it came to the Cavs. And I remember being a little angry at it, not at you because I like your opinions, but more the idea of like that lone opinion I didn't like. But I got to say, I think you were right the whole entire time on this Cavs team.
It goes both ways, because then they shot so incredibly well against Miami that I'm like looking at them like, oh man, maybe I underrated these guys. This whole thing there for like the entire season up through the first round of the playoffs, where you guys shot like 45% on transition threes, it was like unbelievable. It was some of the craziest shooting for an extended stretch over the course of the season that I've seen in my time watching. You guys were just playing so fast and making every shot. It was such a crazy style relative to what we had seen elsewhere around the league. And honestly, like there's a certain amount of like you're kind of betting on what kind of stuff translates and what doesn't. But I want to cut you guys a little bit of slack here, because ultimately, and I know that no one likes to hear these excuses, but one of the most important elements to what made the Cavs this year was Darius Garland was healthy and faster than hell, and no one could keep him in front, and he was getting wherever he wanted on the floor every single time he needed to. And because of the toe injury, he just couldn't do that, and it cut a huge chunk of the ceiling of your offense out. And I think that was just really hard to overcome. And, like, you know, I know that there's been some kind of, like, hesitation surrounding the Cavs looking forward in terms of, you know, you guys are basically running it back. Obviously, there's a couple of shifts off the bench for you guys, but you're running it back, but the conference got worse. And in theory, if you can get back to that point with a healthy Darius Garland, you guys have a good chance.
You know, I look at it like that, kind of a little bit. I just think the problem for some people on the opposite end of the spectrum when you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers is I can look at other teams like Oklahoma City, and you know, they may be a little bit of an anomaly, but Oklahoma City does a couple of things just really, they're just bulldogs defensively.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They're not shooting the ball well. Okay, they still have something else. For the Cavs, it seems as if the shot making kind of really dictates how well and hard they play. If the shots aren't falling for Cleveland, you look back and say, okay, well, if the shots don't fall from three, what is something that the Cleveland Cavs can go to hang their hat on to say, okay, well, that's not working. How can we stay in games against really competitive teams, especially teams that are physical?
I don't disagree. I think versatility is a huge part of succeeding in the playoffs because of things like shots not going down or a matchup that changes the dynamic that leads to your shot quality dipping. In this case, like I do believe in shot variance, but I just put it pretty far down the list of the things that dictates whether or not a shot goes in compared to real basketball reasons. So, for example, if Darius Garland has this immaculate ability when he's healthy to get wherever he wants on the floor, it compromises the defense in a way that generates really high quality kickouts and really high quality shots that have a higher chance of going in. But now Darius Garland loses some of his mobility. He's not compromising the defense as much. Now there's more Donovan Mitchell heliocentric ball. Donovan Mitchell doesn't move the ball as well as Darius Garland does. All of a sudden, collectively, the shot quality dips, and that can actually lead to the shots missing. I'm always going to lean more on that kind of thing than just the, oh, we rolled the dice and they didn't go in this time. Like, it just clashes with my basketball philosophy too much to see things that way. Now, as far as the point you're trying to make, I agree. Still, what if something happens? Like, let's say Darius Garland is healthy, but you run into a Thunder series in the finals where they're containing Darius. You have to have some other way to try to drive offense. And that's where the defense, the transition piece, I think, is kind of like the future of this particular team. That's where I like the Lonzo Ball fit. Lonzo Ball is a defensive playmaker who excels at transition basketball as a passer. And so Lonzo, in a lot of ways, he's not going to have the ceiling of Ty Jerome. He's not going to be able to, you know, surgically pick a team apart and pick and roll and hit six floaters in the fourth quarter while he slowly executes your team. That's not going to happen with Lonzo. But there's a little bit of more. First of all, Lonzo's a little bit more useful in your starting groups. So, like, I could see certain matchups where you play three guards. I could see certain matchups where he's on the floor instead of Darius at the end of a game because he brings more size to the position. Lonzo has utility in your starting groups and in your closing groups. And then also, he's a higher floor option in that bench group. Theoretically, if he's healthy, he's a higher floor option because he's a better defender and he kind of breeds more of that team offense with the way he moves the ball up the floor. So ultimately, you're trying to drive additional ways to win. And a lot of that's going to come from defensive playmaking to get out in transition. That's what the Thunder did. I mean, the Thunder, their offense kept falling apart at various points in the postseason, but they could just tighten the screws on defense and force a bunch of turnovers. And it's like, oh, it's game five of the finals. And Indiana, who never turns the ball over, just turned the ball over four times in a row in the fourth quarter because Oklahoma City's pressure is so oppressive, right? And so that's the key, is finding additional ways to drive offense. Mobley's development is another way to get there as well. There's a lot of different ways to try to drive more resilience out of those units.
Jason Timpf, host of Hoops Tonight, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. I don't know if you heard or not. I'm sure you saw the interview and some of the clips going around, but it was Kevin Durant, it was LeBron, it was Steve Nash, and they were doing their podcast. But they isolated out and focused on Darius Garland in particular. And KD went after Darius's defense. But they also had a whole little stretch talking about whether or not you can have two guards that are 6'2", or in Donovan's case, 6'3" and under, and be able to thrive in today's NBA. Where do you stand on that? Like, two combo guards that are undersized being asked to do a lot?
I saw that clip, and one of the things that's frustrating to me about that is, like, I feel like if I picked up Kyrie Irving and put him on the Cavs, he'd get attacked too. So, like, this idea that there are certain small guards that are resilient and others that are not. Like, I think even the best defenders that are smaller guards get attacked. I mean, for Oklahoma City, Cason Wallace, who's a very good guard defender, was one of the primary entry points when teams would attack Oklahoma City. They would look to attack him. Now, I've been saying for a while that Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell as a unit certainly present challenges. However, what has made it better, what has made it work the way it did for the majority of the season last year is, one, Donovan Mitchell became like a pretty solid help and recover defender. Like, Donovan got really good at, like, digging down on the ball, but then sprinting out to the three-point line, which kind of gave him some defensive utility. Darius battles, he scraps, and there was just so much offensive firepower with that group that it's just a simple equation of, like, can we score more than we give up, right? And so really I would put it this way, like, as we zoom out, Darius has not been a very effective offensive player in the postseason in his career. I'd argued injuries have played a role, but that is the reality. So I actually look at it more like the bigger problem has been Darius hasn't been able to be Darius on offense. I can't even get into discussions about whether or not he can get enough stops at the position, because I've seen him be this great offensive player, this like truly impactful dribble drive guy for extended stretches of regular season basketball, and then he just keeps getting banged up. So, like, if there was a reason to pivot off the core to move Darius for, let's call it, like, just a big forward that can help you in a different way, if there was a move there, it would be more because of Darius's health and his inability to reach his offensive ceiling in the postseason than anything to do with their defense. Like, I still feel like you can defend with weak defenders. I mean, the Denver Nuggets won the title with Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, and Michael Porter Jr. Don't tell me you have to have a bunch of great defenders. You can have great team defense. You just have to be unguardable on offense. And the bigger problem is your guys' offense keeps falling apart.
Well, listen, you talked about it. If there's a reason why you want to move off Darius, is because of offense and not necessarily that, you know, they're a little deficient defensively. What if you throw LeBron James in the equation? I guess we'll ask you, is the ceiling the same, right? The Cavs are in the East. Most experts say the Cavs right now, as constituted, with the moves they make, are the prohibitive favorite to get out of the Eastern Conference with all the injuries and stuff. But is that a better upside than having, say, a LeBron James in the mix, if that's at all possible?
Yeah, so if you look at it from the standpoint of contract value, so let's say that in the process of getting LeBron, you ended up losing Jared Allen and Darius Garland in the process. So now we're looking at a unit that has Evan Mobley and LeBron. You still have Donovan Mitchell. You obviously have Max Strus, and you have Dean Wade, and you have the depth, a lot of the depth pieces that we saw last year. There's still plenty of talent, but I'm more interested in the core five. Do I think LeBron and Evan Mobley is a good enough defensive and rebounding front court for the postseason? Yeah, I wouldn't call it like, you know, a world beater, but it's a good defensive front court. The big thing is LeBron is a reliable secondary option in the postseason. Is he going to be the guy that leads you to the promised land as a, you know, alpha dog, tier one shot creator at age 41? No. But what he can do is what Darius Garland couldn't do, which is be a reliable secondary option behind Donovan. I'm sure you guys are all singing the praises of Donovan. Donovan's just been awesome. There's no other way to put it. Donovan has exceeded expectations in a Cavs jersey as a playoff scorer. But down the roster, it's been the lack of reliable secondary shot creation, and giving yourself another means with which to do that is something that could add some of that resilience. And specifically with the Cavs, you guys have such a glut of shooting. And LeBron, in the Lakers jersey, they just haven't been able to surround him with enough of that type of shooting to really capitalize on his brain, which is still very much something that he has at a top-tier level at the NBA, you know, still in the NBA at his age. And so, you know, I'm skeptical that LeBron will leave personally, simply just because I don't think there's an obvious fit. Like, if you could get, if the Cavs could get LeBron on the mid-level exception and he didn't, if he had opted out and signed, now you're looking at the Cavs like, oh, and Darius Garland and Jared Allen, they're the runaway favorite in the East, probably right at the top level with Oklahoma City, if not even just a prohibitive favorite to win the title. I could see LeBron leaving for something like that. But because he opted in, because you guys have to forego talent, I think that it's just unlikely. But to your point, it would be less effective in the regular season because LeBron at age 41 is going to take a lot of defensive possessions off and play a good amount of unserious basketball. But once you got into a dogfight, once you ended up in a tough game, he's just so much more reliable than anybody not named Donovan Mitchell that's played for you guys in the last couple of years that I think he would raise your ceiling in that environment.
Jason, fantastic insight as always. We continue to check you out over there on Hoops Tonight and everything you do with Colin. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes, and hopefully you enjoy the 4th of July weekend.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Looking forward to next time.
All right, good stuff right there with Jason Timpf. Of course, in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to that and more. We come on back. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.